Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Oh, what a feeling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The world's biggest car maker isn't in Detroit anymore. Toyota is the new number one automaker. Well, at least for the first quarter anyway. It passed GM by 90,000 vehicles. Toyota's Camry sedan is now the most popular car in the U.S. The company's global master plan calls for it to capture 15% of the world's car market by the year 2010. Asian markets closed lower today due to high oil prices and fears over the effect that could have on U.S. consumer spending. In Tokyo, the Nikkei was off 3 points. Wall Street also reacted to higher oil prices by becoming a bit more conservative yesterday and consolidating gains from last week. The Dow slid 42 points to 12,919. The Nasdaq gave up 2 points. It's at 2523. And the S&P lost 3 points to 1480. Speaking of oil, crude right now is at $65.70 a barrel. Senate Democrats and green activists will push the head of the EPA today to start regulating greenhouse gases. Stephen Johnson testifies before a key Senate committee this morning for the first time since a landmark Supreme Court decision on global warming. But as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, the EPA chief isn't rushing to regulate.
The Supreme Court this month ruled against the EPA, saying the federal agency indeed does have the power to regulate greenhouse gases. But in written testimony obtained by GreenWire.com, EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson argues the court ruling gives his agency significant latitude with regard to any such regulations. He also says the EPA is still studying the issues raised by the court's decision. David Doniger at the Natural Resources Defense Council says Johnson is stalling.
We're running out of time to stave off the worst of global warming. The EPA has the power, has always had the power, to take a big bite out of the problem. It's time for them to act.
Johnson is called to testify today by the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. Chairwoman Barbara Boxer of California will press him to start regulating greenhouse gases. The NRDC's Doniger suggests his group could sue the EPA under the Clean Air Act if the agency drags its feet. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Everyone knows about Google and Amazon, but not as many have heard about the venture capital firm Kleiner Perkins, which helped them get started. Now that company is opening offices in China, Scott Tong is our Shanghai correspondent. I asked him why Kleiner Perkins is making this move now.
Well, there's a lot of talk by the government in China to move up the value chain, as they put it, that China's economy has long been kind of strong in lower-end textiles and shoes, and they want to move up into technology. So the government is putting a lot of incentives, tax incentives, to do that and to hopefully cultivate those ideas. And, of course, venture capital is to connect money to those ideas.
We don't normally think of China as a place for innovation.
It's still a big question mark, according to the people I talked to. Can China innovate? There are successful online companies here, but generally they've been, shall we say, borrowed from Amazon and Google and others. Of course, those are Kleiner Perkins-funded startups back in the day. One big question in China is, if you have a great idea, how safe is it from the copycats, intellectual property? One investor told me that a couple months back when YouTube was hot, 150 YouTube copycats kind of sprung up in China. So that's still a big question mark, piracy, people kind of ripping off ideas. Having said that, most people I talk to say the intellectual property environment is slowly getting better in China, but that's a long-term thing.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Okay, Mark, take care.
Shanghai Bureau correspondent Scott Tong.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments. In companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices, Calvert.com.
Negotiating a salary, for some of us, it's actually fun. But for most of us, it's that circle of hell that Dante missed. Nobody wants to be a sucker, but you also don't want to come off as a greedy jerk with your boss. So how do you know if the initial offer is fair? Well, the Internet, of course. Websites like payscale.com can help you figure out what people generally get paid for different kinds of work. We sent commentator Joel Stein out to look at how our freelance pay stacks up.
I'm not a good negotiator. So a marketplace asked me for my first on-air essay, I immediately accepted their offer of $150. After all, this is a medium whose business plan involves asking people for money in exchange for tote bags. In the past, only your boss, whose company paid for salary surveys from specialists, knew how much other people got for doing your job. But PayScale has gotten 5.5 million U.S. workers to log on and give them detailed information about their salary, which they'll then give to you for free for providing yours. This, of course, seems like an even worse business plan than the tote bag thing. After just 6 minutes of answering questions, I would be armed with data allowing me to demand just compensation for my work. I had dreams of big money. Ira Glass kind of money. When PayScale asked about how many hours a week I'd be working, I figured an essay like this would take about 3. I was including snack breaks and some web surfing and a couple of TV shows. To my surprise, 5 people with eerily similar on-air jobs had given their info to PayScale. And to my greater surprise, they averaged $20.90 an hour. Since I was making nearly $50 an hour, I was in the 99.9th percentile, flat out kicking all of my new radio friends' financial butts without ever even having done one of these yet. In fact, per hour, I was doing better than Stanford grad software engineers, $82,750 a year, porn stars, $63,275 a year, and almost as well as rabbis, $98,610 a year. You see, this is the problem with perfect information. It stripped away all my glamour about being an underpaid public radio guy. Now that I knew I was getting the most out of my employer, I felt like I had to work a little extra hard on this. By which I mean rereading it before I sent it off. No wonder the station has to beg you for money.
Joel Stein is a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.